You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10, just as a note, as a text note. We started teaching last week, actually, on overcoming temptation. Everybody say overcoming temptation. Now listen, you were born to overcome temptation. You weren't born to be overcome by it. I know everybody's got temptations, and we live in a world full of temptations. We live in a body that's pulled by the world. But you're in this body. You're not your body. You're inside this body. You can control. You can make decisions. In other words, you're riding this horse. Don't let this horse ride you. If you let this horse do what it wants to do, it'll go back to the barn every time. Because that's where the safety and that's where the food is, you know. But you just have to make that horse go where you want it to go. And this is, I'm talking about your body, and I'm no reference to women in particular. I'm talking about men, women, all of us. Okay, so, honey, he just called me a horse. What? But you have to take control of your emotions and control of your body, and then you have to submit it to the Word of God, submit it to what God says. And you can do that. You can overcome feelings. And, you know, thank God for forgiveness. I think forgiveness is wonderful, but not needing it's better. Are you with me? Yeah. Hallelujah. I think as Dave said in class today, he says most people just live by this motto or the ethos, you know, it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Right. Y'all think about it, but it's a whole lot better to get permission than to get forgiveness. I'd rather live right than have to get forgiveness. Now, I get forgiveness, thank God for it. Are you with me? Thank God it's there. How many of you rather be healed or just need a healing every day? I take being healed, wouldn't you? Amen. Okay. But healing's available. It's there. But, not needing it's better. Yeah. How many of you would like to have forgiveness and need it every day or just not need it? I'd rather not need it. But if I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Amen. And he does forgive me. Hallelujah. So what we're talking about is overcoming temptation. If you'll hit this thing at the root, if you'll quit repeating the same scenario, quit doing the same thing over and over, and having to run to God and get forgiveness. God actually wants you to grow up and get over it. A couple of you think that's good, and my wife's smiling here on the front row. God wants you to get over your sin. See, grace is not just an excuse for sin. It's a power over sin. And God wants us to, it may take time. You may have been doing something a long, long time, and you need some help, but that's okay. If you'll get on the right road, you'll finally get there. You didn't get in the mess overnight. You probably won't get out overnight, but you can get out. You can get help if you'll take some steps and start believing, start trusting, start overcoming. First of all, get your mind right, you know. The idea that you're doomed to live this way all your life, to give in to this sin all your life, that's the lie that the devil wants you to buy. Don't buy that lie. Don't take that package. Don't sign for that package. You whoever brings that package, tell them to go pack it. Don't put your name on it. Say, no, not in this house. I'm not signing for that. I'm going to overcome this in the name of Jesus. Because I was born to overcome. That's right. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believes Jesus of the Christ is born of God, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Woo, that's me. Yeah. That's you. Amen? So in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, notice what it says here. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Get that straight first, that whatever's happened to you has happened to a lot of people. You're not unique in this, and you're not unique in being able to overcome it. Others have overcome it, you can overcome it too. Amen? Others got over it, you can get over it too. God helped others, he'll help you too. Amen. Woo! I think I just preached myself happy. Yeah. I was preaching one time and I know there's no such thing, I know. We say white church, black church is just church. But I was in a predominantly black church preaching one time, and oh my goodness gracious. I had Chris with me, and he was sitting on the front row, and he's just a little kid. And he was getting into it because they were really, you don't preach in a black church, you participate in a sermon. That's what you do. And every other word I was saying, oh yeah, come on, preach it. They stand up and shake their handkerchief. You know, yeah, preach it. Don't hang up now. Chris was looking around. He was jumping up with them. He was, yeah, preach it. He had the best time. He got so into that message. I mean, there was so much participation in that sermon. It was just awesome. Amen. Preach it. Don't hang up now. I had a guy say that one time in a service, and I said, I won't be hanging up till about, when I come what time I thought I'd be through. Because he just kept saying it over and over. Don't hang up. Don't hang up. But it says, there hath no temptation taken you such as common to man. Get over this fact that you're unique in that. We're all tempted. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody's had pain. Everybody's had challenges, and everybody's had temptations. That's not to demean your pain. It's not to belittle your situation. If it's you, it hurts. I know that. But the good news is that others have overcome, and what others have done, you can do too, through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? Hallelujah. So it says, there's no temptation taken you such as common to man, but God is faithful. I like that. God is always faithful in the midst of temptation. He'll not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, a lot of people say he won't put more on you than you can handle, but that's not what the scripture says. Actually, God's not putting it on you to start with. God is not the tempter. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted of the devil. And the Bible says about the devil, it says, when the tempter came. That's not a title that God has. God is the helper, the healer. He's the one that fixes us and heals us and puts us on our feet and gives us strength. Hallelujah. And so we don't need to get confused. What we need to understand is that when the temptation comes, God will put a stop on the devil. He will not allow him to tempt us above that we're able, but will always, with the temptation, make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Think about it. I don't know what you're going through, but there's a way out. Let's be as just, if we just be just almost as smart as a cow. Hello. I mean, you put a cow in a fenced-in area, and that cow's going to start walking the fence looking for a way out. You put us in a fenced-in area, we sit down in the middle of the pasture and just give up and say, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I see. And just give up. No, we need to start looking for a way out, because there is a way out here somewhere. There's a gate open. What are you doing in the prison? Amen. So when temptation comes, don't give in to it. Overcome it. There are some steps that you can take to overcome temptation. In fact, we talked about some of those last week. We got to about three of them. And y'all just took up so much of my time, I didn't get to all five of them. And I was really disappointed, because I rarely have any points to my sermons. I usually have just one point. But I had a five-point sermon. Five steps to overcome temptation. Are you ready? Okay. First step was prayer. We talked about prayer. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane told the disciples, he said, pray that you enter not temptation. Remember that one? Yeah, has it come down to that? Yeah, it has. We need to pray. Amen? You need to think about praying about your situation. You ever thought about that? I know you think, well, that's so basic. You'd be amazed how we don't do that. Or if we do pray, we don't even pray in faith. We just kind of ask God to forgive us, but we really don't ask him to help us. We need to ask God to help us with this. Amen? Whatever that thing is. It could be a million things. Maybe you're tempted to take somebody's head off. Hey, don't. Okay? As your pastor, I'm just telling you, don't do that. That's not a good deal. You don't want to do that. But you don't want to be angry at them the rest of your life either. You don't want to just hate people. You say, why not? You know what they did? Well, it doesn't matter what they did. We're talking about you. We're not talking about them. We're talking about you turning into something you don't want to be. We're talking about making your life miserable when it doesn't have to be miserable. We're talking about someone having a piece of your life that they don't have to have a piece of. Somebody controlling you and they don't have to control you. You can let it go. Doesn't mean you hang around them. You know, I love telling that story. Fred Price is where I heard it. He said, if I walked in a guy's yard and opened up the little picket fence gate and walked up to the door, knocked on the door, and he had a dog in that yard and a dog bit me, he said, I would forgive the dog. I know that's what dogs do. They bite people. He said, that's not about forgiveness. I understand that. I'm going to forgive the dog. But, he said, I'm not going back in that yard again. So sometimes we need to sever, you know, situations, but we do need to forgive. It doesn't mean we're going to continue to hang out, you know, and continue to go into a situation. No, you just forgive and you walk on. You let it go. Y'all sound so excited about this message. You need to pray, amen? You need to pray that you enter not temptation. You know what we call the Lord's Prayer? Everybody calls it the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it was a prayer for us. Jesus said, after this manner, you pray. You know, but we always call it the Lord's Prayer. But actually, it was a prayer for us to pray. He said in that prayer, You know, he started out and says, "Our Father art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." And he says, "Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Now think about that. God will lead you out. But if you pray, he'll lead you out of temptation. If you don't pray, he's dormant. He's not moving at all. God doesn't lead us into temptation. He leads us out of temptation, but only if we pray. Y'all see that? So be quick to pray and ask God to help you. That's step number one. Step number two we talked about was get in the Word. And all you got to do is just look at the sower and the seed, the parable of the sower and the seed. It's all about God's Word being planted. Somebody have a cough drop or excuse me, or a glass of sweet tea or or there's a water. Is that water? Yeah, good. Yes, thank you. Thank you. So if you look at the parable, the sower and the seed, the whole point was to get the seed in the ground. So you need to get the Word. If you're going to overcome temptation, you've got to get God's Word inside of you. Amen? It has to be deep down inside of you. And don't dig the seed back up, you know. And don't let weeds choke out the seed, as it were. Because it says in that parable, it says in the time of temptation. In the time of temptation, meaning when the sun comes out and the heat hits the ground. Because there's no root in the ground. They are offended and they give up. And Jesus goes on to explain that. It says, in the time of temptation, the devil has stolen the world. You quit believing what God said. You quit standing on what God's Word said. You quit putting your faith in it. It was fine when everybody was fine. It was fine when we were in church and everybody was shouting hallelujah. It was fine when the temperature was just right. But when we got out there on that job Monday morning, hello, and all those old temptations come, all of a sudden, the Word's choked out. We're not talking it. We're not believing it. We're not excited about it. You know, I remember I planted 3 acres of cantaloupes one time, 3 or 4 acres. It was probably three, about behind our house. Magnum 45s, boy, they were nice cantaloupes. I mean, that was a spent a lot of money on the seed, planted them. I was going to sell them on the market. I used to work on the produce market. And we planted them, and goodness gracious, it rained, and we had all kinds of rain. I had the prettiest plants you ever saw in your life. I mean, all that water, just these plants just spread over everywhere, you know. You couldn't even see the rows. There were so many plants. There were beautiful vines. But then it quit raining, and the sun came out. And we had so much rain before that the roots never really got deep. They just kind of stayed on the surface. You know, that can have an adverse effect if you have too much rain because the roots don't get down deep. All the water's on top. They don't need to. Well, when the sun came out, they didn't have roots deep enough, and so it just scorched them. I mean, it just, the little, bless their little hearts, the little cantaloupes just didn't do well at all. I got enough money to pay for the seed and maybe a little extra. I don't know what it was. We sold a few bushels of them, but it just didn't produce at all like it should have. And I thought of that parable because it didn't have roots deep enough. When the time of persecution came, when the time of temptation came, when the sun came out, all of a sudden, they weren't able to handle it. You know, we got to get our roots deep in the Word. Amen? We've got to. We got to know what God says. Not because mama said it or daddy said it or the preacher said it. You need to know it. And it'll help you overcome the trials of life. You'll learn to pray. You'll learn to get in the Word and stand on God's Word. And then you want to stay humble. Everybody say, stay humble. In fact, turn there, if you will, James 4th chapter. James 4th chapter, 6th verse. And that's something we've got to get a hold of here. Hey, I'm very, very confident in God. I'm very confident that God's going to get me through the mess I'm in. I'm confident in my future. I'm confident in heaven. But I'm not cocky about it. Are you out there? I know that I am what I am by the grace of God. I know that if it weren't for him, I wouldn't be here. And God didn't just get a great pick when he got me. God loved me, and that's just all there is to it. And any pride involved, well, there's no pride involved on my part because I didn't do anything to get here. I accepted him, and he did it all. He gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. And I will be pointing to him for the rest of my life. Are you with me? And I have to stay humble in that respect. I think back on where I was. I think back of the family I came out of. I think back, you know, of my past and my great accomplishments before I met Jesus. There just weren't a whole lot of them. Are you with me? Y'all out there. I don't have anything to point to say this is what made me who I am today other than Jesus and a good wife. Amen? But when I think about all that, I am just a conglomerate of a lot of things, and mainly I am a product of God's grace, and that's why I am here today. And that humbles me in one respect. It empowers me in another respect. It encourages me to face the future. Amen? Because I tell you what, there's nothing out there that he can't handle. There's a lot of things I might crater and fall on, but not him. He can handle it. All I got to do is call on him. All I got to do is run to him. He's my refuge and my strength, praise God. He's my shield and my buckler. He's my exceeding great reward. He's my redeemer, my healer. He's my savior. He's my deliverer, praise God. He's my all in all. If I get to him, I can get out of this mess I got out of a lot of them before, praise God, with his help. Amen? I may not be all that important, but he is. And I'm important to him, and that's all that really matters. Amen? So I have to stay humble before him. James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace, wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, if you need anything in temptation, you need the grace of God. You need his favor and his hand and his touch on your life. And staying humble before him will get you in position to get his favor. See, overcoming has a lot to do with being in the right position, spiritually speaking. If you're in the right position, the blessings will come. I heard T.D. Jakes say this one time talking about the Garden of Eden. When God made everything, he hasn't caused rain to come upon the land, you know, and so on and so forth. And it says after he put man in the land, then he caused a mist to come up from the ground, water to earth. I never had made the connection, but the point he was making was when the man got where he was supposed to be, then the blessing came. When he got in position, when you get in position, the blessing will come. God's like a quarterback. You ever seen a good quarterback? I'm thinking, okay, but anyway. Before I get off on that, I mean, Tony Romo's stats are through the roof. He's got some awesome stats. It is a team sport. Stay with me. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, a quarterback is rated by how many complete passes they have. The problem with that stat is that not everybody catches the ball. Hello. That's the problem with that stat. Now, the good thing about that stat, all things being equal, you got some pretty good receivers like a guy named Troy Aikman, you know, who had Michael Irvin. Hello. Back in Emmitt Smith days, Michael Irvin days. And you know, you start looking at the team, there's a lot of players that were ginning and working together and connecting. And where they're supposed to be. In other words, when you run a route or you run a pattern, you know, when the quarterback throws that ball, if the person has run the route or the pattern, he doesn't really have to hardly look. I mean, he sees it, he throws it, but he's assuming that guy's going to be where he's supposed to be, and he'll catch the ball and run it all in. And so it's like two people working together. But now the quarterback gets a completed pass stat, you know, written down. When that pass is completed, he gets an incomplete stat. When the ball's dropped, and it could be just butterfingers. Could be the ball was where it's supposed to be, the person didn't catch it. It could be the ball was where it's supposed to be, the person wasn't where he was supposed to be. Are you with me? And that's kind of the way it is with God. We give God a bad rap when we don't catch it. But we don't catch it because we're not where we're supposed to be. Not because God's bad at throwing the pass, or he's bad at answering prayers, or because he's bad at blessing. No, he's blessing all the time, and he's answering prayers all the time. But see, we're not where we're supposed to be, and so we're dropping the ball, and then we chalk it off as an unanswered prayer. We weren't doing what we're supposed to do. We weren't praying, and we weren't believing like we're supposed to believe. We weren't living like we're supposed to live. Are you with me? Can you say amen, somebody? We didn't have the right attitude, and so we chalk it off as God doesn't care, and God didn't do anything. Well, God's always doing the right thing. Somebody wasn't where they're supposed to be, and guess who it was? We have found the enemy, and he is us. So we have to be in position to receive. And one of those great positions, spiritually speaking, is humility. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit goes before a fall. You know, we need to stay humble before our God. We need to be grateful and thankful for all that he's done in our lives. We ought to acknowledge him and give him glory and give him praise. Quit taking all the credit. Are you out there? Hey, I've seen what I could do. I don't want an encore. I want to see God performed. You know, when Gabriel the angel visited Mary, and she said, how shall these things be? You know, she'll be with child. She said, see, and I know not a man. And he said, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you, and the power of the highest will come on you, and that holy thing will be born of you, shall be called the Son of God. And for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary looked at the angel. It says, Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. You know, she said, I believe. Be it unto me according to your word. When she went to see her cousin Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist? You know what him and Kermit the Frog had in common? Okay. Same middle name. Right. Okay. So, y'all are kind of slow. Or maybe these jokes just getting old. Maybe that's it. When she went to see Elizabeth, her cousin, the Bible says the Holy Ghost leaped in her womb. And actually said John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost in her womb. And she began to prophesy. And she said to Mary, she said, blessed shall she be who believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her by the Lord. I like that. If you want a performance of the things that God has told you, then you have to believe. You have to have the right attitude. You have to humble yourself before Him and trust Him and believe Him. But if you will believe Him, there will be a performance, not of your old life, not repeating the same thing over and over. That saying, deja vu, that's the same mess over and over. I'm just wasting all my good humor and everything. But if you want to stop that insanity, if you want to stop that repetitiveness of you trying and failing, trying and failing, trying and failing, well, what you need to do is start believing God and get a performance from Him instead of you. Let Him show up and show out, because He always shows out when He shows up. Amen? Let Him do something, praise God. Well, you got to believe for that to happen. You got to stay humble before you believe. Because you won't run to God if you think you can handle it on your own. If you think you got yourself in this mess, you can get yourself out. You know, that's about the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. I got myself in this mess, I get myself out. No, you're saying I am the problem and I am the answer. You am confused. You am not both, okay? You're not the problem and the answer. Let's just face it, we're the problem. We need the answer. Okay. And He's the answer. Hallelujah. So stay humble. And He says this. He said, gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I love that. And notice He jumps over in the 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter 5. That was James 4, 6. I'm going to go back and forth to James and 1 Peter here with this message. 1 Peter 5 tells us this, 5, 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Boy, I love that. If you will humble yourself under His mighty hand, He will pick you up and put you on your feet again. He'll bring you out of the miry clay and set your feet on a solid rock. He will do that. He'll bring you out of that mess, and He'll make a message out of that mess. He'll bring you out of that test, and He'll make a testimony out of that test. Amen? You can turn your mess into a message. You can turn your adversity into an advantage, and you can turn your pain into power. You can. If you'll humble yourself under God's hand, He will exalt you. He'll do what you can't do. When you run out, He's got plenty. When you have no resources left, He's got millions of them. And that's what He's asking us to do. He's saying He gives grace to the humble. To the humble in James 4, 6. And in 1 Peter 5, 6, He says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you. That He, for this purpose and intent, not that you stay down, not that you stay broken as it were, but you humble yourself so you can be exalted. You submit yourself. You say, Lord, I can't do this without You, but I'm not without You. Jesus said in John 15, 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without Me, you can do nothing. But the good news is we are not without Him. So now we can, like Paul says, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, Philippians 4:13. But we got to stay humble about this thing. I'm not great because I'm great. I'm great because He's great. Does that make sense? I'm not great because I'm great. I'm great because He's great. I can't do this because I'm so good. I can do this because He's so good. Think about it. Now that's something to say because I need to be confident in that, but I also need to be sure I give the credit where the credit's due. Give the glory where the glory is due. that honor God, that the world sees my good works and they glorify my Father which is in heaven. That I'm pointing to Him all the time. That He set me free, He set you free. He got me through it, He can get you through it. Here I am, I'm standing on the other side of that mess, hallelujah. And it wasn't anything in and of myself, it was just Him that did it. And if you'll call on Him, you can get out just like I got out. So you're pointing to Him in that respect, staying humble. It'll help you with temptation. You're not Superman, you're not Superwoman. Let me tell you something. You stay away from places that cause temptation to come. You stay away from people that cause temptation to come. You do not put a whiskey bottle in front of an alcoholic and tell him not to drink. You do not do that. And if you have those kind of, you need to recognize your limitations. Clint Eastwood said that in one of those Dirty Harry movies. I'm not recommending to go watch it. I'm just saying he did. He said a man's got to recognize his limitations. You and I have them. And you know what? It's different with everybody. Did you know that? And things that pull at me don't pull at you. Things that pull at you don't pull at me. Some people just have a problem with this and have a problem with that. And we look at them and we go, man, what's wrong with that guy? Yeah, well, you got your own problems. Are you with me? We all got pulls. What we got to do is clean up our own backyard. We got no stones to throw. I got no stones to throw. But I do know this, that I have got to stay away from situations. I have got to stay away from certain people. I got to stay away from certain places. Because that's just feeding fuel to the fire. Hello. You're not going to find me down at a bar at 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just not going to happen. Just be a bad witness for me as a pastor. Are you with me? Yeah. But, I mean, I have a history of alcoholism in my family. And I have a pretty good history before I got saved of myself. You know, being in jail and drinking and drugs and all those kinds of things. So I don't hang around places like that. Are you with me? And no offense, but I don't hang around people that drink. I mean, even casually, I just don't do it. I love them. I'm not against them. I don't hate them. But I don't need that. I just don't need that, you know, looking at me, looking at that thing all the time. With me, it wouldn't be a social drink. Now, I ain't got drunk since I got saved. Stay with me. But that's the key. I stayed away from a lot of things, stayed away from people. That's a temptation that if I could cultivate very easily, I could get back into it, and then before long I'd be in a hospital somewhere, you know, or in jail somewhere. And then I'd have to have Chris fill in for me and preach, you know. But that's not going to happen because I'm going to stay humble. I know I'm not perfect. Are you with me? I know there's that pull. So I just stay away from those things. I can handle it. I got no problem. Don't plan on ever getting drunk. Don't plan on ever, you know, winding up drunk in a ditch somewhere, because I'm just not going to get around that kind of situation. I'm not going to put myself in that place. I'm going to stay humble. I know I'm not perfect. I can't play around with those kinds of things, so I just don't play around with it. No, that's me. Now, I'm not going to, for me to point the finger at everybody and condemn everybody else to hell because of something they're doing they have no problem with, that's not that. See, a sign of a bad man is he can't quit anything without making sure everybody else quits it. Yep. Hello. That's why we don't point fingers. Because we all got issues. Sure is getting quiet in here. Amen. Come on, I'm hanging the laundry out. I'm being as transparent as I can here. I mean, I tell you, gambling, I have no problem with gambling. Doesn't bother me not one bit. I mean, I remember when I was lost, I got in a card game and lost $7, and I said, forget that, man. I'm not playing that again. I didn't even know the Lord. I just thought, crazy, man. Why would anybody want to do that? How much you want from me? I'll just give it to you. You want $10? Here, take it. Well, but other people I know, they're just hooked on it, man. They're playing the lotto and everything else, and woo. Everybody's got different temptations. Wow, why'd I belabor this point? Let's move on quickly here. I never had trouble being unfaithful to Brenda. I always say two reasons. I fear God and I fear Brenda. You know, but... Some people have an issue. They need to pray. They need to seek God. See, we're not condemning. We just need to recognize that we need God to help us. And we're all different. We all have different pulls and different temptations, different demons we fight. But the good news is that you can overcome it, whatever it is. Whatever it is, you can overcome if you'll pray. If you'll get in the Word and you'll stay humble and seek God. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Notice what it goes on to say here. It says, I love this. It doesn't stop there. It says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking who he may devour. We're in a battle. Don't You can't just go out blind in the world. You need to understand there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your marriage. There's a battle going on for your family and for your city and for your state and for your country. There is a battle going on in this country for what we stand for in the United States of America. There's a battle going on for the morality and the holiness that brought us to the place to where we are today. We have to recognize that. We got to stand firm in our faith. And you can't just haphazardly go through life. You have to live life with purpose. You have to pray over your family. You have to pray over your marriage. You have to pray over your sanity, as it were, and your finances, or whatever the case is. And believe God and trust God, because there's a battle going on. You have an enemy, the devil. And you don't have to give in to that rascal. You can resist him, the Bible says, and the Bible says he'll flee. In fact, that's what he says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Somebody. Amen. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, there's a lot going on. Everybody goes through temptation. We all go through it. But if you'll resist it, you can win just like they won. This better preach y'all are amen. So in light of James 4:6, which we read just a while ago, which it says God gives grace to the humble, he says in the 7th verse, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So the 4th step is submit to God. Once you humble yourself to God, submit to him. Do what he says to do. These are simple things, but if you don't do them, they'll cause your downfall. And if you want to win, if you want to get up again, if you want to get back on that horse and ride it, then you need to do some of these things. You need to pray. You need to get in the Word. You need to stay humble. And you need to submit to God. And everybody wants authority, but not everybody wants to submit. You ever notice that where it says, the 7th verse of James 4, says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. If you want to overcome the devil and resist that temptation, you first have to submit to God to do it. We all talk about authority. I want power over the devil. I want power over this. I want power over that. But if you don't submit to God, you don't have any power. Because all of our power comes from him. It's no different than a job. Anybody ever worked on a job? Good. 3 of y'all have. Good. You ever notice on a job, the more you submit, the more promotions you get? The more you're on time, the more you do what you're supposed to do, the pay raises you get. You ever notice the guy that has the key to the building didn't get it when he first hired on? He proved himself. He submitted. And the more submissive he was to that business and to that vision and that mission or whatever that was in that company, the more authority the guy got. If you want more authority with God and in authority in his word, then you need to submit more. And the more you submit yourself to him and do what he says to do and obey him this thing and that thing and that thing, then the more authority you have. See, authority, now think about it, think about this. Authority comes through submission. Submission is a choice. It's not being a slave. I know some people say, well, I'm not submitting to anybody. Well, you're just a knucklehead. Because we all submit to everybody. I mean, come on, we submit to laws and land, bosses on jobs, mothers and fathers and 3 daughters, and I submit to all kinds of things. Anyway. Submission is a Latin word. It means sub, under. It comes from hypotasso, under a mission or a cause. In other words, when I submit, submission is to be under a mission. And that's a choice. I'm not a slave. I chose to serve God, okay? I chose to serve him. He didn't make me serve him. I chose to serve him. See, he's not a dictator. Well, he put a whip on me and he captured me and conquered me, and I'm a prize of war, a conquest of war, and I'm just walking through life just doing what he says because I don't have a choice. No, no, no. I chose to serve him. That's different than slavery. I'm not a slave. I willfully choose to serve God. That's why God loves it when I do it, because I didn't have to. But I submitted. I submission. I'm serving under his mission. I'm going to do what promotes the kingdom. I'm going to submit to God. Then I can resist the devil. Woo! Oh, come on now. That's good preaching. That's why God's so pleased when you do it, because you don't have to. You choose to. I don't know about you, what Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm making a stand here. I don't know about the world, but I've made my stand. I've drawn my line in the sand. I'm standing with Jesus. And me and my house, we're going to serve Jesus. I'm not going to serve my flesh. I'm not going to spend my time trying to please the world. Spend 90% of my time trying to please 10% of the people that I don't even like. They don't even like me, and I'm trying to make them happy. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I want to make God happy. I want to please the Lord. Hallelujah. And if I do that, I'll make a lot of people happy if I do that. Amen? So I submit. That's fourth. Hey, let's get to the fifth one. We're actually going to get through. We've got 5 minutes. So we pray. We get in the Word. We humble ourselves unto God. And we submit to Him when we do that. And then, of course, really, I don't know if this would be a step, but I guess it would be the consummation of all that. Then we resist the temptation. But we resist Him, as Peter says, in the faith. And you can't resist Him outside the faith. You can't resist temptation on your own. But you can resist temptation in the faith. You resist in the faith. You resist by believing, by trusting. But it's progressive. You don't pray. You don't get in the Word. You don't have any Word to believe. How could you believe? If you don't humble yourself, then you're not going to submit if you don't humble yourself. But if you humble yourself, you'll submit. And then if you'll do all that, then now you've got power to resist in the faith. And you can tell that devil to get packing. You got to watch that in text. When we say packing, we mean you got a pistol, you know. But anyway, yeah, that targets your audience. We're in Texas. Tell that devil to get on down the road. Amen? Because he doesn't have a place here in me. He doesn't have a place here in my family. I happen to be someone who prays. I happen to be someone who's in the Word. I happen to be someone that's humbling myself under God's hand, mighty hand. I happen to be someone who's submitting to God. I can resist him. I don't have to give in to him. Amen? Brother Osteen used to tell the story about this guy that was a bully. I'm sure you've heard the story over and over, but he was just bullied himself in school and bullied everybody in school. And this little guy wasn't going to be bullied, you know. And this guy's walking around, and he's got this things writing stuff down. And the little guy asks the bully, he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm writing a list." And the little guy said to the big bully, he says, "What's on that list?" He said, "This is everybody I can whoop." And the little guy grabs it from him, says, "Let me see that list." He said, "You got my name on here." He says, "Yeah, I do." He said, "Well, you can't whoop me." He said, "Well, give me that back. I'll mark your name off." So that's kind of what we've got to tell the devil. He's got us, as we say, Texas cowtown. You know, we're cowed down by this thing. He can't whoop us. He can't whoop us. He can't win if we'll believe. Amen? You make the devil take your name off the list. Amen? You do these things and follow these steps. Praise God, when it's all said and done, you'll overcome that temptation instead of being overcome by that temptation. Hallelujah. And somebody, there'll be another slot on his list. He'll have to fill it with somebody else's name. It won't be yours.